Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley. I'm joined by Van Gelder, and it looks like once again it's going to be a one-on-one episode because we are far from having a full house. And for those of us who are here, we are not very happy people. We have a lot to get off our chests. So let's just jump right into it. No time for pleasantries or anything. Charlie, nobody be happy.
You don't collect their pleasantries in Manchester and in London.
Charlie, let's just jump right into it. Man United, Tottenham. Man United lost 1-0 to Tottenham on Sunday. And first of all, before I start my rant or anything, Van Gelder, let me just ask you. Do you have any thoughts? Do you have any questions?
First of all, all these new school managers, they should be serious. They should be serious in life and with their work. Right now, be like, say, anybody just if you do anything that they won't do, if they go to school, then teach them 1+1. They no waste me, then teach them 2+2. When they left the school. What's the meaning of this? You are in sporting. It will go well for you for there. With the caliber of players you have, you are playing a particular formation or style of play that works to the strength of your team and to the detriment of your opponent. Cool vibes. Now you have come to Manchester United. First, you started by ostracizing players. Man like Marcus and others. From. Then, he be like say in training method, Pochettino owns some. So all in players just the heads. Yes, he brought up people like Ahmad, and it looked like you guys were kind of like turning a corner. Now, all of a sudden, loss upon loss, loss upon loss. He did take L's like he be this thing. He be Tupai or something. Like, I don't understand. Why can't he adapt his formation and his strategy to suit the current crop of players that you have? Me, that'd be my only question. Why can't he do that? Because at this point, it's getting embarrassing. Right now, people do some side for Netherlands. They do, media, we are talking. They said they lie. This, that. He did that, no. New school manager, whatever. See, I wasn't the problem. Meanwhile, that manager to Isha. So for me, I just think that all these new school managers, I know will come on Chelsea later, but these new school managers, they know if we adapt, they know if we change, then they do them a body like, then they be headstrong, we know the right way, this is the way we play, it's my way or the highway. The highway means they go suck you. They go suck you. Where if me, I'll be owner, right now, I go repeat the contract, say, if within the first year, you dey play anyhow with the loose way because of performance, we sack you, we no give you compensation. Because you cry, you cost we. No, think about it. If right now you did 15th, you did 15th, be like say somebody release anchor for there. You know if you move, you just did there. If you no qualify for Europe, that'd be lost revenue. Who go compensate for that lost revenue? Who go compensate? So if you be manager where you make your team shine or sick of your formation and the performances be bad, and it's not because of extenuating circumstances, like maybe you lose like 10 players. That'd be why, where everything just be nyama chaka. You don't play well. If them sack you within the first year of your contract, you serve you for reimburse the club money because you can't waste on our resources. And that's my biggest headache with Ruben. Me, nah, then I know they like him, Dada. Because they'll be too suspicious. Say, every big club get vacancy. But nobody, they go hire Ruben Amorim. Chelsea go sniff around. They say, Ebin. Kako. This is not the Mel Good. Barca. Bayern. Even West Ham went to sniff around it and came out and said, no, we can't be doing this. And I think that's where we should have taken the cue that there's something wrong with that guy. I mean, the thought was that, okay, the season is a write-off for United. Use it to build you, as we did tap here, if we say, okay, with what you've seen so far and the evidence of what he has done so far, he'll go into the summer, then go give him all the money they need. Are you expecting anything good to come out of next season? Me, as I'm saying, I can tell you no. I don't know the future. But I can tell the future from the past. And it's not looking good for your guy. It's not looking good. I don't know. He has 4 wins. 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. 4 wins. 7 losses. The rest be draw. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. Kale, make a left give you. You be the United fan.
So earlier today, I tweeted about Ancelotti. I tweeted that Ancelotti basically, after Real Madrid sold Benzema, and he was also stuck with a team that had 2 wingers who preferred to play on the left, he still managed to adjust. He managed to find a role for Bellingham and all of that. Managed to play those 2 wingers somehow to their strengths and managed to win the Champions League. And still, if you hear like the tacticos on Twitter and all those people talking about managers, when they talk about the top managers, they all still manage to shift people like Ancelotti to the side because they see him like, oh, this guy there, he just be vibes manager, you know, get tactics, he just they do whatever. And this will be my problem with these new school managers as you talk. Because these new school managers, like as Van Gelder, they talk. It's like they only know one thing and nothing else. The idea of tweaking and adjusting to the environment and situations that you are presented with is like a very foreign concept to them. Because, yes, me, I understand if, okay, you have this system that works for you and you feel like that's the best way to go. In a situation where you are faced with tools that don't fit the work you're trying to do, there's nothing wrong with adapting until you get the tools that you have or the tools that you want. And that's my problem. It's not like I'm asking him to completely throw away whatever he's trying to do, throw away his 3-back system. But the thing is, if you come and find yourself in a situation where the players you have aren't conducive to whatever it is you're doing, there's nothing wrong with putting it aside for the meantime and just working with what you have. Because in any case, the story when he was first hired was that they wanted him to, he wanted to start in the summer, but United gave him a take it or leave it offer that if it starts right now. So my thinking is that if you wanted to start in the summer, then in any case, the team would still have been playing a different system until you arrive in the summer. Then you'd have the summer preseason period to start implementing whatever it is you want to do. So then wouldn't it be the same thing if you start like with a formation that the players are more familiar with until we get to the summer that you were wanting to come in anyway? And then you start from there. Like, because in any case, see what Van Nistelrooy came to do when he came in as interim. I think it was Van Gelder or Fred, I've forgotten who asked me the question right after Amorim was hired, that would I have preferred if Van Nistelrooy had continued? And even at that time, I was saying that my emotions would probably have answered for me at the time, because Van Nistelrooy came, he was just doing the simple things. He played a double pivot of Casemiro and Ugarte, he secured the back, he secured the midfield. He was just doing the simple things. And if you are hiring an interim manager, that's really what you want. If you want, especially when your season is going terribly, you just want somebody who can steady the ship. So if you come in the middle of the season, it wasn't even in the middle of the season except when he came, it was like close to the middle. When you come in at that time, that's all you want. You just want somebody who comes to steady the ship, not shake things too much. And again, it doesn't have to be like that all the time. You can have the main fallback or whatever it is. And then every now and then, when you have some few easy games here and there, maybe you are playing a Leicester, you are playing a Rangers in Europa, you can try your 3-back, see how it goes. But this complete and immediate switch is not something I'm happy about at all. And like when he first came, I was expressing my reservations about it. But more and more every week as time goes by, I'm moving more and more firmly into the camp that says that it is never going to work. And it's something that I hate doing, because me, I've always been someone who likes to give managers as much time as possible. And the painful thing about it too is that, like, I can also admit that it's not only his fault. The management team, Ineos, whatever, they are all clueless. From the moment they decided to extend Ten Hag, just because he won the FA Cup, that whole thing, from that to chasing Dan Ashworth for 6 months, and then giving him like two or three months.
After five months. Yeah. Because they said, I remember listening to, I think, The Athletic, sorry to cut into you, and they were talking about how, what would be the Ineos guy name, Sir Jim, felt like Dan was not the person he thought he was. Like, they thought he had an extensive, what do they call them, diary with numbers across contacts. But apparently, anybody who knew him well in the game knew Dan Ashworth as your systems man. You bring in
operations guy.
Yeah, make you can do the operations, make you sort you out, make you streamline your departments, make sure see everything they work well, then things. You know, they can't call somebody for Cyprus to Charlie. I guess they discovered a new Messi, take him with 12 million. No. And even the guy, the CEO of the football division, I don't know what his name is, the head of the CEO. He has football diary. Where he be in, they like this kind of calls, then they fly go here, go do deal cap. So,
he be the connection, really, man.
It didn't really make sense to hire him as a CEO. Maybe Dan Ashworth would have been a better CEO, and Omar Berada rather sporting director. They make Dan Ashworth oversee. Where I here to see another team with the money. Dan Ashworth's department was one of the departments that were slowest in cutting people off and getting them off the payroll. He wasn't sacking people quickly enough. So it would be there. So the thing there, it'd be myriad of things. I don't know if it be really Ineos and my problem, or it be say the United has gone to shits and Ineos is the one trying to clean house. I don't even know.
Ineos is definitely part of the problem. Even now, like, the idea that they sold they loaned out two attackers during the January window without replacing them. They let Rashford go. They let Anthony.
Let Rashford go. They let Anthony. They don't sell him beginning of the season.
No, they loan him in January. It just they know the play, so he probably they know the play him, so he probably forget about him. But he was there.
You make serious? The others for me, I thought he was in Sevilla just chilling.
Oh, they did. So basically, they let Rashford go, they let Anthony go, and they didn't replace them. And that is the most incompetent decision you'd ever find in any club, because that left us with three attackers. It left us with four attackers: Ahmad, Garnacho, Zegzi, and Hoyland. So we are gambling on the fact that, or on the hope that, none of them will get injured. And then the worst possible outcome came, and Ahmad is now out for the rest of the season. And I can tell you that of every single player in our squad right now, Ahmad is probably the worst player who could have gotten injured right now. Everybody is replaceable in the squad right now, with the exception of Ahmad. Even Bruno, everybody would have been replaceable. So now you find yourself in the worst possible situation. And it comes back to Ineos, because I feel like in January, Ineos took a calculated gamble. They just looked at the league table and they said, be like the European sports, be too far to get. We no go enter Europe. And then relegation sports too, we are not good, but the teams in the relegation zone are probably too far away and they are not good enough to catch up with us. So make we just write off the season and then just hope that we go sail through for the rest of the season.
I've heard that before, but you will be cool.
Hope that we go sail through for the rest of the season and start afresh. Because there's no other sensible reason to leave your team with four attackers going into the rest of the season, considering the fact that you are still in the FA Cup and you are still in Europa. And in Europa, according to the bookies, we are the favorites currently. So at the very least, you have a chance of making a deep run into Europa. Europa is kind of like your joker card for the season, because you win Europa, you're into the Champions League without really deserving it from the entire balance of your season.
Yeah.
So if anything, your whole thing should be, make we just take a wild gamble, maybe try and get somebody who can bring us goals and get us into Europa. And that's why, like I kept saying, Chelsea might not want him, but I think a player like Nkunku would have solved a lot of our problems in attack. Because Nkunku in what the Conference League has so far this season, I think he has 13 goals and assists, or 13 goals. He has a good return, mostly from the Conference League. Mostly from the Conference League. Conference League in Europa, here and there, the difference is not really big like that. So, if he's and that's what your focus should be. Somebody who can get you goals in Europa.
I think what they tried to do was to try to scam us to buy Garnacho for 60 million.
Garnacho, we know where.
So their plan was, okay, if you know we get a 60 crowd, they might be 45. And then loan us in Kunku on top of it. Then it will make at least we don't get the full money, but we get in Kunku. Where Chelsea to? Then they spend money, but then be papers. They don't spend any money. They know they feel and the person that really, when we get to Chelsea, I'll talk about it. But they just try to scam their way out to see, let's see if we can get everybody they lie to this one. Make we see if we too, we go feel like them. Take, Nkunku off their hands. And then let's see how it goes. If you put bait for Felix, you go get them.
Exactly. My thing was Nkunku first. If you can't get Nkunku, Felix, at the very least, you'd have been able to get one of them. And it would have solved a lot of your problems. Because in any case, Felix, one of his biggest problems is that he's never found a team outside of Benfica that plays him to his strengths. His strength right now, as I see it, is playing as a second striker. The second striker role is basically like that left 10 role that Amorim is playing. So, on the balance of things, that's like the most suitable role for him in any club in Europe right now, Sef. It would have been perfect for him. So, for me, it was a no-brainer. And Nkunku to the same thing, because Nkunku was playing a similar role at Leipzig anyway. So, for me, it was a no-brainer going to get one of the two of them.
Nkunku and Zexi would have made a very good partnership, to be honest.
Yeah. So, right now, for me, Ineos just took a very chiseled gamble that make we just try finesse our way through the remainder of the season, and then end of season we will start afresh. And it's a very stupid risk to take, because end of the season, if you are stuck without European football, I'm not the sort of fan who says that if we don't make it to into the Champions League, then I don't want European football at all. Make you no qualified for Europa. I still acknowledge the fact that Europa is still going to give you some form of revenue, and it will also help in terms of blooding your other young players who are not getting enough game time. Is a way of satisfying other players who are not in favor. So me, I'm not the sort of person who doesn't want to qualify for Europa. If you know we make Champions League, you get Europa, and Europa also gives you an additional path into the Champions League for the following season. So for me, I'm always in support of qualifying for Europa. If the Conference League with them, and I see I'm saying Italy, something. It's very, very annoying that we found ourselves in this situation, because it seems like bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And we should never have gotten to this point, because in the first, I just don't get why they knew what Amorim was about. They knew that this is the formation he wants, even if you are going to go for him. With his initial suggestion that I'll go wait till the summer, because it's going to be a huge shift from what we are doing to what he wants. So the best decision...
He needs maximum time on the training pitch to implement
it. So at the very least, go with a suggestion that make we wait till the summer, give it to Ruud until the end of the season, and then we take it from there. So it's just a very annoying situation, because right now I'm not liking Amorim and what he's doing too much. But at the same time, I can't blame him too much, because it's not entirely his fault. There are also a lot of stupid decisions that have gone into the situation where we are in now. And on top of that, the transfer policy that we've adopted now, it's
what about the policy now?
Right now, we decide to say, see, this question, it triggered me. Because right now, it's we have a lot of teams in football. It's not just limited to Man United. We have a lot of clubs in football right now, in the football world right now, who had a winning formula. They had a winning system wear at least every two seasons, then go win one trophy at least. And then they just decided to throw away that formula and decided that, okay, now we want to be a Brighton. Now we want to be a Leipzig. So instead of having players who are ready to go right now, we won't buy players for the future who may or may not make it in life. It affects me because Man United, if that whole Man United DNA thing, it's not about the style of play. For me, it's about the sort of players we go for, the sort of managers we go for. Our style is like the Real Madrid style. Buy the best players you can get. Get managers who are able to balance tactics with man management. And then just dominates in that way. Like
there's also the thought, you see, right now, then they do a lot of, there are so many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing. So right now, the manager doesn't have sort of like the most important or the most say. The manager only for coach. Where you don't get any top level manager, he go come there, he go come tell you, say, I don't want to have a say in transfers. I don't want to have a say in even like how we arrange the training page and diets and things. I'll just come and coach. And then I don't even want to have a say in like how you integrate youth and things. No, nobody go free do that. Where the top managers we right now, then check like 12. 12 serve plenty. Maybe 5 or 6 pay left. In a bab. Where if you want them, you have to push them from other clubs who are like, for instance, if you want, what be this guy's name? Inter de coach.
Simone Inzaghi.
Inzaghi. You for give them cash. You for give them cash. You for give Inter cash. Before you go, if you go push up. Where you know if you spend all that money, then can't tap here and talk to Inzaghi, you're only just coaching. We don't even want to have a discussion with you about players we want to sign. We go sign players, give you, then you know, you go make them do this.
You know, me, I'm even happy that you brought up Simone Inzaghi because he's an example of how like much football has changed and the sort of like, I don't know, the sort of warp thinking that teams have nowadays. Just take Juventus, for example. For about 10 years, they won about, was it? They won 9 Serie A titles in a row.
Yeah.
And then they did it in a way that was like, they won the 9 Scudettos, signing experienced players, signing managers who just know how to work with what they have. Like, they, throughout those 9 years, from even the Ronaldo period was at the latter end. They had a period where they started it all with signing
if
Tevez.
You get any player, he be washed for
just bring
England.
Them. We go use bring them.
We go
whether England everywhere they sign Tevez, they sign Tevez, they sign Mandzukic, they sign. In fact, Pirlo was at the beginning.
The guy in this is what be name. Oh, where you go, Roma? Oh,
the ball. No, the ball. Hey, no, the ball. I've forgotten that. Is it Dzeko?
Dzeko.
Like,
just
see,
if the guy finished, no, take a gun, we go by.
See, the thing about Juve's thing was that then they sign, gather all the experienced players, then go forget. If they go forget some young player every now and then, take make some, fine. But their own is that we are signing players for them now. And it worked. They won 9 Scudettos in a row. They go to 2 Champions League finals. Their only unfortunate thing was that they met Real Madrid in the 2 Champions. They met Barcelona in 1 Champions. They met MSN Barca in 1 final. They met BBC Real Madrid in another final. Like, what more can you do?
The year after, they met, Atletico. But that and then they don't sign Ronaldo. So, it would then batter them.
It's like the worst possible teams you could have faced. So, for all intents and purposes, that strategy was the most successful strategy outside of whatever it is that Real Madrid and the rest were doing. And then for some reason, they just decided that we are throwing it all away. We are selling all our experienced players. And now with the one use, then kind of Jonjo McKennie and all sorts of like random players. That just shows you like how much warped thinking is going into football squad building nowadays. And right now that Inter is dominating, Inter is currently using the same strategy that Juve were using to dominate. Inter have gone and signed Pavard, Mkhitaryan, Kalanoglu. I'm even forgetting some names. But like they're basically using the same strategy that Juve were using to dominate.
Bro, then sign Damian Nentins or add.
Damian Nentins. Like, do you know how long Damian left United? Like, it didn't come reach like 10 years where Damian left United.
Marcus Thuram, then things.
Yeah. And it shows you that football can be much simpler than these modern owners and sporting directors and coaches are making it seem. But we spend too much time on United. Talk about another club that is overthinking their football strategy and their football.
And I read when our money is finished. We overthink. Right now, we don't get money again.
Brighton 3-0. How did you feel? Because a few weeks ago,
we lost to Brighton in 1 week.
A few weeks ago or a few months ago, we did tease the idea of a Chelsea title challenge. Right now, the whole team, Pascal.
That's about time I say, this is exactly why they will tell people to stop this nonsense of a title challenge. We know this team. And I don't even know where to start from. But let me start with those two hideous trains. The sporting directors. Well, like, those guys have to go. And me. Just like how I defeated Potter. Just like how I defeated Poch. Well, lie. When Stanley Stewart, I'll defeat you. Well, like, I'll defeat you. Because those two guys... And Bernard Bali. Them then start one of problems. I don't know where Bernard Bali came in. You see, me, as I having problems at the beginning, the very first transfer window, everybody they bashed Todd Boehly. But at least you could see that transfer window. That was the only time we went for experienced players. You know, Koulibaly, what be his name? And at that time, we are not Christensen. And everybody at the time thought Koulibaly was the right buy. You go buy Sterling based on the suggestion of Tuchel, where we buy Kukurea. You know what? After that, this thing, and that one, Seth Ibisekov, check, Peter check, and what be in the Marina, see, then they left, they know one day here, they know the free support, the new regime, because then we are more reaching people. When they try to show loyalty. So then left. As then left, we no get. We try go. Actually, Todd Boehly tried to sign what be name? Edwards from Liverpool. Where he say, he promised Liverpool say he day break. So he know come. Maybe so can there. Unless me now do this. Where that one end. Their biggest problem was who they brought in after that. They signed Vivell. From Leipzig, very good at identifying talent and players and coaches. Then for some weird reason, they signed Stewart and Wayne Stanley. So the first January transfer window after that, you know, then push Vivell go side. Vivell work on the Nkunku deal, Cook giveaway, where we sign him December. You the guy. We see them announce the signing December. Say they join in the summer.
At the end of the season.
If we've already cooked that deal. No, January come, no, what happened? Mudrik, Enzo, this, that. We saw like 80 players, Madueke. Ah! I said, okay. Maybe then they try to lay groundwork, get the players in now, even if they are young, they have with Potter, they'll be able to figure something out by the summer, then we'll start to improve. Then we... And even at that time, at that summer, I remember us saying, Chelsea fans all saying, we only need two or three players. Because you had Kukurea, you had Reece James, you had Koulibaly as centre back. It wasn't working, but he was still an experienced centre back. You had other people there to help you out. You had Enzo, you needed somebody to do all the hard work. So we were eyeing Caicedo or Declan Rice. Right? Up front, you had a bit of skirmishes there, Kai Havertz and things, but then we say, okay, if we feel sort out the goalkeeping situation, then it'll be Kepa so they impact. Then sort out a defensive midfielder and a good striker. We might be doing something. We might be onto something here. Then they went into the summer. Spent the whole summer chasing Caicedo. Last day at the Kai, wow. 2-3 days to try, they will open. I go tweet, say, if we the Sago plus Liverpool, it'll be done deal. I know. I turn up. I don't know. Holy Spirit wake me up 5:30. I turn up. My phone will blow up. Why? Then see Liverpool agreed. I say, hey, Alaji. But that was the summer we also brought in Nicolas Jackson. That was the summer I think we also brought in. What's it? We go buy like in Colabe 50,000. Then we go buy 2 first team players. And the worst part of all of this is the team in Chelsea that these 2 hideous twins don't have oversight over are doing fantastic. In fact, if you watch them and you watch them, Chelsea men's team, you go. If you watch the Chelsea women and the Chelsea men, you go figure it'd be 2 different clubs. Just say then the share name. They lost Emma Hayes. Who did they bring? They brought Sofia Bonpastor, arguably the best coach in women's football at the time. Go carry him come. If they lose big name, then they go side. Like we lost Bethany England. They brought in Macario from US. We then go carry this girl off the one for then she did La Liga. I forget, they score every time, but I forget his name. Carry go United, go buy Rich James in Stockholm. Go this thing, Sweden, go buy other players come. If Chelsea women, if they lose one big player, then they sign like 4 big players. Right now, they sell $1 million. Record transfer ever. Go buy arguably the best center back in the world. 24 years. Take him come. They don't give you briefing space, Seth. Make you imagine, say, you go feel compete like them. With the here new DM, they go Barcelona. Yeah, Walsh was almost washed and she's old. But still, she has something. She go feel help in the next 2 to 3. Right now, what with the here be the Champions League? She get the experience. She win up for Barca. She go feel help we. They go come the men's side. Be like, say, they don't know how then they buy players. You've spent 1.something billion. We still don't have a spine. Do you know how ridiculous that is? You spent 1.something billion. We still need a spine. You go buy center back. Go buy center. J money, go buy center back. If, then you go do free tossing. And it's not anything against Tosin. Then you go talk, say, you know, they want Chaloba. Make you go loan. Then January, you go recall him. Cowell, me, I tell you, pull already, that guy, me, I know they see him. Chelsea fans, now see, we know they see top. The only person for the back there, well, we tell you, this season, at least, he changed minds with Kukureya. Now we start to see, okay, some good improvement. But Kukureya still be limited player. You go buy Swiss Army knife player like Vega. Come, E2, sake of lack of minutes, he say he won. Right now, go see Juventus. Then they worship him for them. They say, hey, what a talent, what a player. Then we say, we not say they don't get money, then go take come by. So the loan, if he end, he go come back. With the here goal scoring guy, you go buy Sancho. You go bring Neto. You get Madueke. Then, or most importantly, we say, sign a striker. We figure out, maybe transfer deadline, then go sort Osimhen out, then it will be Osimhen plus Jackson. Now this, what did they do? They dilly-dally, they didn't sign Osimhen. Then they said, Jackson's backup is Magui from Barcelona Academy. Fine, no problem. We start the season, we start well. December come normal of Chelsea for some weird reason. For the past like 8 years, every December we did fall off. Then we go pick them up again sometime February or something. Cool, no problem. We've gone into the transfer window. Every Chelsea fan is screaming from their lungs. Buy a striker. Buy a striker. Who their own talk about? Look around. get we a striker. You loaned out Felix. Me, I'm not a fan of Felix anyway. So them loaning him out, fair enough. Okay. The manager didn't want him, to be fair. Enzo didn't want him. It'd be Egbali wake up one day, call him boy, who him and this, say, oh, sorry, sir, I know about your boy Samu. But then give me another one. Then that'd be all. And what happened? Within one match, both strikers go right. The day that transfer deadline day finished, no. If we that you know, Jackson and Gui both had the same match. Now Jackson is out until April. We don't know when Gui is out until. Now you are stuck with nothing. We have two Bamba missing the coach. I don't know. If you take Onana and Bayern, put them together, you get Sanchez. The other guy, Jorgensen, too, he knows she that good. Recall a midfielder, so say, Caicedo no go run out and die for the pitch stop one day. We have two fantastic midfielders on loan. One in Southampton, Leslie Ugochukwu, or Andre Santos in Strasbourg, when a sister club. He's like their star boy. Then they worship that kid. Because boy, no ni boy, no boy. Recall one. So we can, you say, no, we can go buy Amogus, Amofus, Amuwa, man. I don't know the guy. Even people from France don't know the guy. And now we have hit a slump. And we are, the sheer mismanagement of this club by those two hideous twins and their godfather, Bernard Egbali. If Bernard not say it just be money he didn't want, there was no point in him coming to try to run the club on a day to day. Take give people then day sports inside. Take give Todd. Make Todd set we up. That's the US, they chop profit, chop profit, chop profit. Because sometimes I don't know what is in their head. Do they forget that if your team wins trophies, then it becomes more valuable and then you get better? Like, we've not had a front of share sponsor for 1.5 years. Do you know how incompetent you have to be as a club that Chelsea Football Club does not have a front of shirt? We don't get so. That's 50, 60 million we didn't make. Last year, we didn't make Champions League. How much money have we lost for not making Champions League 2 years in a row? So, like, it's like then just the top there. I mean, personally, I'm not shocked because if you they talk, say, you they like Brighton, the Mamodo, you they like people like that, the way they get low wages, but then they compete with people with double the wage bill and things like that. Play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. It be simple as that. Football is very, very simple. The amount of effort you put in and the decisions you make has a literal direct correlation to your results. It not check like something you go free do, then you go do some one, then it will change.
You know, the thing about this mindset that modern clubs have, this we want to emulate Brighton, we want to emulate Leipzig. It's very...
They didn't have a choice. They are small clubs. They have to do that to survive.
Exactly. It's like you get Benz for there. Then you say, no, I won't use bicycle, go work. Like, so you
get Benz. Then they protect you. You just stay at Congo. I get a preference up. You just stay there at Congo. You not say people won't kill you. You got bulletproof car for there. Where you for take go? They said no. I won't take bicycle because the Dutch prime minister they go work plus bike.
But
nobody that try shoot that guy. You if you step out right now, they go off you.
It makes no sense to me because. And that's why I keep coming back to Real Madrid. People, they talk, say, I decry Real Madrid too much. But, like, I like to use them because it seems to me like...
They are the pinnacle of how to run a football club.
Apart from being the pinnacle, I feel like they are the only club that hasn't moved away from who they are. They are the only club who knows who they are. And they don't try...
Barcelona, somebody like Barcelona, self, them for shift small sake of them... Therefore, pull like 84 levers before then go free register player. Barcelona does exactly the same thing Real Madrid does. The only difference is that Barcelona, no, they don't get Real Madrid their money. They get so many problems. But if you think about it, all the best clubs. Even look at Manchester City. They had big problems in the this thing. They go, Mamouche, Braha, Kusan of Braha, Nico Gonzalez. Let me give you a stat. The game they just played. This is the first time since Rodri got injured that they didn't concede big chances at all or from a transition. Why? Because they had a defensive midfielder. Sometimes football, it be simple. Get a guy who can knock the ball into the back of the net. Get a defender that will, or a midfielder that will prevent the ball going the other way. In no heart. Get a goalkeeper. Bro, do you know how ridiculous it is that when you go to misplaced passes, chat on Chelsea, number one, Kopama, of course, he be in the hold ball plenty, so he go misplace some of the passes. Number two, Enzo Fernandez, of course, he did try always poke some pass here and there. Number three, Robert Sanchez. He's the goalkeeper. He has the most amount of mistakes leading to goals. Five. Why? You go, you delight Brighton. You go sign them a coach. You sign them a goalkeeper trainer. You sign them a, what do they call them? Them a sporting director. Sign, go sign the guy they take replace that sporting director. Sign, go sign them a third rate coach. What do they call them? Third rate keeper. If you go sign this level of Entebbe, your team, no, it'll be Entebbe you will get. Because right now, nobody defeats sack Robert Sanchez or Selam. Because the head of goalkeeping department is the guy that loves him so much from Brighton. If they do my boy be this, my boy be this, my kiddie be this, my kiddie be this, how we go free Selam? If they go out there, go side, like this summer, Nice the keeper. Former Chelsea Academy keeper, Marcin Buka, very good keeper. Thick, tall, he no claim, he no catch, he no pass. He was available for like 12 million. No, then go sign some guy from Villarreal. We concede the most amount of goals because he no pass. He come to the passing self, we know they see. It take him till last two matches ago to displace Robert Sanchez. While like I'm telling you, if them play, if them buy Marcin Buka, like he displaced Sanchez long time ago, it is not difficult. Footballing is not, and I know some Chelsea fans will talk say Ibienzo Maresca in fault. He has some culpability in that, you know, they like he come first and we say, ah, this guy you open say he be stubborn. We know they see. He they switch in tactics, they play different styles, they make other, you know. So we know they see the stop, but now we they see the stubborn. You've lost both your strikers. Now he's lost Madueke too. The only person you have up front that is extremely clinical is Kopama. Nkunku is there, but the way Nkunku did, he know they give you the pressing and the things you they need. So what do? You change your formation. You change your tactics. You switch it up so that you can make do with the players you have. You say, the interviewer must say, you know, they like in fullback way, then they go up and down. What does that mean? That means that players like Gusto, obviously their output will fall because you they try invert them. He don't know that inversion play. So somebody like Gusto, who Chelsea fans were like, you know what, if it's James Odey, Gusto be cool. Right now, he has regressed. And he's playing really poorly. You can't rely on James because he's always injured. He go can't play three matches, he left. The person where he gives stability for the distance to, Lavia to, he too, he check like plastic. He come this week, 4 weeks, 4 months time before you go see him again. So at the end of the day, you set yourself up in a manner that you play in a compact way. In a way that kind of like has people that can complement each other. Just change the formation. Go three back or something. The time Thomas Tuchel came to Chelsea, he had never, before he coached Chelsea, he had never played three at the back. He be four at the back guy. He came to Chelsea, first training session, now he said, Kovo Wemo, Obo four at the back, Ombe Shenye, Ombe 1,000. What did he do? Three at the back. Within 13 months, he won three trophies. One of them is the Champions League. One of them is the Super Cup. And the other one is the Club World Cup. which is the reason why we are able to play in this Club World Cup, whatever thing where they happen this summer. You address your clubs, spray money, 50 million for a 16-year-old here, 10 million for a 12-year-old there, 16,000 for a pregnant woman who has who had a vision that in Kiligo go no ball play. It's not what is going to help the club. We have an academy for that. Academy, you they spend money on. You they give them training. You they make them play competitions and things. Spend the money on the first team. Actual players, like 3/4 of the players they've signed since they came in for the past 3 years, have not been for the first team. It be in every day, they tell you, Yopo say make a no talk. They haven't been for the first team. Most of them have been sub under 18, under 19 players where they see potential. Then go hire somebody from Corinthians. So every time they go and tell them, or say Santos is a Corinthians, they scam them plus players from Brazil. Yes, you've signed Estevao, fantastic talent. But is this the environment in which you will come, thrive, and even get better, and then you will see the value? In them times, the time Joko and Lampard them, they come, if them enter dressing room, they get people where if you misplace pass, then they hold you like this. They talk, hey, we don't misplace passes for here. Right now, nobody they fit talk anybody in matter because we all be the same age. You don't fit tell Madueke anything. You know if you tell Palmer anything. Because Madueke and Palmer, the difference be 1 year. You know if you tell Reese anything, he said, if you know they're the hospital. So at the end of the day, you set yourself up to fail. You set look, there's no manager, no matter how good they are, that'll come to Chelsea today, that'll succeed. Not because the players are bad. It's just because we've just planned our squad so badly that you don't have the tools necessary to create a winning environment. Bro, we played against Brighton and we played zero shot on target. Zero. Zero. We've played 180 minutes against Brighton. It was only one of the, in 45 minutes of the 180 minutes, that we were able to play shot on targets. The whole second half in the FA Cup and the whole match in the league, zero shots on targets. And a lot of Chelsea fans are saying, Maresca out, they should sack him, he's too stubborn, he's not a good coach, you know, take we go anywhere, this, that, that, that. And I hear you, they may be right. Me, I don't know the future. But this environment that has been created by those two hideous twins and their boss, Bedard Egbali, nobody will thrive here, which is why every good coach they approach walks away. The moment they have one meeting with them, nobody tells them. Nagelsmann ran away. Luis Enrique ran away. Other managers, top managers, will all walk away. Because nobody is looking at this environment and saying, yes, I'll come and thrive here. They tried to sign Roberto Di Zerbi. He said no. He went to Marseille. If you can't sign some Brighton, you did treat them like this. That'd be cool. It'd be bright and it'd be small club. 3 years ago, we were champions of the world. Just see, with people, it do have people to forget. It not be like 8 years ago. Three years ago, we were champions of the world. Now, we don't know if next season we will play Champions League. That will be 3 consecutive years. Chelsea Football Club, former champions of, like, apart from Man City, we are the immediate past winners of the Champions League. In England, we will not play in the Champions League for 3 seasons in a row. And even if we go there to play, I don't have the confidence that we have enough quality to even do something there. The entire season at this point is jeopardized. We don't get strikers, Kopama, Taya, Enzo, then Caicedo, then play boss, Charlie. If they get them Taya, the manager and mentality, you know, be winning. It be, oh, then say 2 years. So it be cool, 2 years. Huh? Chelsea manager, will you try to find positive in losing a cup game? Me, I know they like Mikel Obi. You know, they talk too much. He be too emotional. But he talks something. He said, if you be Roman Abramovich, you've won two matches. You've won two games in 9 matches. If Roman Abramovich, like the helicopter come, the training pitch. Ah, if the helicopter come, you know, you there training, then they pack your box, give you. If we don't make serious, both Chelsea and Man U, if we don't make serious, Bournemouth, then Forest, then things, then we can't take the top four. If we then go Champions League, then we will go their house, then we go they win one of our children off breast milk. Because that'd be the type of players we they buy.
And with that, we've come to the end of a very depressing episode of the After the Whistle podcast.
It'll be very depressing, but what can we do?
Charlie, this episode, yeah, just be feelings with the camp pour out for you, Bolo. But yeah, if you haven't done this already, please follow our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast GCR, TikTok, After the Whistle, YouTube, After the Whistle Podcast. Please subscribe to the YouTube, like, share when you watch the episodes. Leave a comment for us, join the conversation. If there's anything you want us to talk about, any way you want to contribute, just feel free to comment in the comment section, not just on the YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere. And yeah, also, if you want to talk about the episode, you don't want to leave a comment, use the hashtag ATW Podcast. So yeah, once again, Charlie, thank you. This episode is just two of us because the other guys, they make very busy. Like life they lash them. Life they lash with you all, but to be we frustrate past everybody. So me, they're like, if I don't come vent today, I go explode. So yeah, Charlie. Thank you again for joining us, Vangelda, Charlie. Thanks.
Pleasure.
As always, ATW dominates the conversation.